What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Linz, what do you got?
Well, if you guys are anything like me, you've been following this whole Theranos case with Elizabeth Holmes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the one that had the HBO documentary?
Yeah, there's a couple documentaries. There was a Hulu dramatized version with Amanda Seyfried that played her, and she did a phenomenal job. I think she won some Emmy
phenomenal
Awards for that. Phenomenal.
Epic.
And there's a couple. There's an HBO documentary. There's a podcast. So if anyone's listening and they haven't heard about Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos.
My wife loves that HBO documentary.
Yeah, by the way, I'm one of those people that's listening right now that has no clue what you're talking about.
All right, well, check it out, Captain.
Yeah, you just Google it, bro.
Yeah. So,
wait, I thought she was going to tell us about it.
I'm going to. Well, I'm going to tell you that today, more than 4 years after charges were brought against her for duping investors and patients at her blood testing startup, she's been sentenced. A federal judge handed down a prison sentence of 135 months or 11.25 years with 3 years of supervised release. She was once the youngest self-made female billionaire, and she had a net worth of approximately $4.5 billion.
Damn.
She claimed to have developed a medical device that could detect a multitude of diseases and conditions from a single drop of blood, but the technology never worked. She's going to begin her sentence in April of next year.
It's just a big Ponzi, basically.
I'm so impressed with people who can run these kinds of schemes.
What?
Yeah.
I mean, this is a pretty elaborate, like, she had the whole world going for, like, almost 10 years.
I mean, right. I mean, George, when I say I'm so impressed, it's like, when you try and do legit biz, it's hard. But then you hear about people that are like, they came up with this thing, a drop of blood, you can figure out all this stuff, you get millions, millions, millions of dollars invested, you're living the high life, all along you know that this is all a bunch of nonsense and it's going nowhere, and it's probably only a matter of time until you're caught, but until you're caught, you are living it, hoping you never do. Anybody who's like that devious, gosh, that's impressive to me.
Well, in her case, she had like, basically she had an idea that she had trouble, like, and a prototype of an idea, but she had trouble getting like the technology to make it work. Mm-hmm. And so she just lied, assuming that she was eventually going to have all these engineers figure it out, but they never did.
Right.
You got to watch the documentary. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah, be careful. I don't want to see a cited documentary in a few years, okay?
I know, right? I'm going to dupe a whole bunch of investors. All of a sudden, they go, how'd you raise $250 million in a Series C? I'm like, I don't know. I just told a bunch of lies, and people gave me their money.
Did you do that, Cap?
I haven't raised that much, but
I was going to say, that's a lot of money. Good job.
That's a lot of money, yeah. I don't know. Wow, that's impressive. That is damn impressive. To get people to trust you like that. To put their money into you.
And it wasn't just anybody. It wasn't just a bunch of random rich people. She had like the Secretary of State. She had like the President of Stanford or Harvard, one of the two. It was like some very high profile people.
Yeah.
I love how you actually like admire this woman who is a pariah. I love this.
Yeah, well, you're not going to admire her when she's sitting, you know, singing the Jailhouse Blues.
No, yeah, she's going to be in there and she's going to be hanging out in Sing Sing. You know, you're going to be with her when you go and you dupe people from your sighted money.
That or I'm going to go talk to her, like, across the glass on the phones.
Yeah.
Like, can you explain this to me? So tell me this. How the hell did you do this? So let me get this straight. You were able to, and then I'm just going to learn from her.
Right.
And then
you'll end up on the other side of that glass one day, too.
She kind of talks like your remote voice, like, you know how you're like, ESPN. Like, that's kind of how she talks.
Really?
She does. She has, like, a very deep voice, but everyone says it's fake.
Check this out. CNN.
Yeah, there. She
sounds
like
talks.
Yeah. ESPN.
Yeah. All right. That is What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Now, speaking of being duped, do you think somebody will be duped into trading for Derek Carr? Because Pro Football Focus believes the Raiders could trade Derek Carr sometime in this upcoming offseason. And remember, it only cost them $5 million on the dead money in the cap. But do you believe that someone will take him on? Because if they trade him, they're taking that contract, obviously.
Right. So I don't know if you saw this week, George, but Derek Carr, and we've obviously been talking about the Raiders a lot, because what's happened to the Raiders this year is incredibly interesting.
Yeah.
But did you see this week where Derek Carr and Davante Adams both came out in, like, great support for Josh McDaniels? In fact, Derek Carr had this quote where he's, and I'm paraphrasing, but he was like, hey, look, I'm glad Mr. Davis, he always has to be respectful and call Mark Davis Mr. Davis, I'm glad Mr. Davis has come out and said that Josh is going to be with us because he's our leader, he's our guy, we want to know that, and that, you know, helps stability in the organization, and we love Josh, and we're all for Josh. It's like, yeah, if he doesn't say that and he gets traded or cut, his boy Devontae Adams would be like, yo, man, I came here to play with you, and 1 year later, they trade you or cut you? I had Aaron Rodgers. I was playing for the Green Bay Packers. You got me coming here to Vegas, and you're gone after a year? So I think Derek Carr is going to do everything he can to try and remain a Raider.
You think because of that? Or you think because he doesn't want to be traded from the Raiders?
A, he's the kind of guy that would like to be a Raider for life, even if it means never winning. And B, I'll bet you he's like, yeah, dog, I got you here to Vegas so we could finish our careers together, and a year later, I'm gone. Sorry I did that, pal. Devontae Adams would be like, yo, man, I was playing with Aaron Rodgers. Why'd I come here to play with you for a year?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you think that there's somebody out there in the NFL that would look at Derek Carr and say, he's our Matthew Stafford? We were a Matthew Stafford away from winning a Super Bowl. Now we're a Derek Carr away from winning a Super Bowl. You tell me.
Yeah, I don't think anyone sees that.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think that?
No.
Yeah,
what are the Colts going to do? Go with another quarterback 4 years in a row, four different veteran quarterbacks?
I mean, I guess that's like kind of like the only team. But now that they have, like, I don't know. Yeah, maybe. Who knows?
For what it's worth, I did see that cutting him is also a possibility, because even though he makes whatever his contract is, something like 20-something million, his cap hit, like the dead cap hit, if they were to cut him, is only like $5 million, which is nothing compared
Wait,
to...
Who are we talking about here?
Derek Carr.
Yeah, I just
said
that.
Cunningham, I thought you said.
No.
Cutting. If you cut him, it's only $5 million. Oh, by the way, if you trade him, it's also $5 million against the cap.
Yeah, so it's like, it's not a cap hit for them at all, the way they did the contract.
I mean, I'm just looking around the rest of the league. Could Houston use Derek Carr? I guess that would probably be an upgrade for them.
Right, and his brother played there, so.
Right. I mean, I'm looking around.
He did spend like a couple years there in that area.
Could he help New Orleans? Is he better than what they've got in New Orleans? Maybe like a little. Is he better than what they have in Carolina? Maybe a little.
I would say, like, if Sean Payton was there, he'd be better off going to New Orleans. But, like, Sean Payton's not there.
I mean, I'm just looking around the league, and I'm thinking to myself, do the New York Jets go, you know.
No.
We tried with this kid, but, you know, we think we're Derek Carr from being a Super Bowl team. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think if Derek Carr is not with the Raiders, he could be somebody's backup.
But that means they would cut him in that scenario, because if no one's trading for him, then
no one's trading for him.
Yeah. So you think no one is trading for him?
I don't think so, because I think everybody else would look at the Raiders and they go, you know what? They got to get rid of him. They can't have him. So we'll just wait until he's an available free agent, and then we'll sign him for a lot less. Why would I take on that contract? Screw that.
I mean, I'm with you. I wouldn't trade for him. But there's always a desperate team.
Well, you know, this is an interesting weekend of NFL football.
What about if you're Bill Belichick?
I don't think so.
I mean, they don't seem to be that high on Mac Jones anymore.
Yeah, but I don't think...
They got the Zappy hour.
Yeah, I don't think they would look at Derek Carr and go, he's the answer. I don't think so. By the way, the Raiders this weekend, George, against the Broncos... Now, this has been the coaching matchup that everybody's laughed about all year long, right?
Josh McDaniels versus Nathaniel Hackett, yeah.
Right, right. One guy is 3-6 in his first year. That's Nathaniel Hackett. Mm-hmm. The other guy is 2-7 in his first year. That's Josh McDaniels.
Correct.
These were two teams that were supposed to contribute to making the AFC West the preseason best division in football. Look at these two.
Disaster!
Raiders and Broncos in Denver. I think I got to take the Broncos.
Although Bill Barnwell wrote an interesting piece that Lindsay pointed me to about how the Raiders have been one of the most unluckiest teams in football this year. They have really been. If you read the story, it's actually really, I mean, it's obviously accurate. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of ridiculous things have happened to them during games this season. And I feel like that even just off first glance, it's like, oh, yeah, how many times have I tweeted in the circle of trust, that's the most Raiders loss ever? It's like three times already this year.
I mean, the first one that comes to mind is that Arizona game in week two.
Right, when Kyler Murray just went nuts running all over the field.
Right. Then they had that chance to beat Kansas City where they lost by a point.
Yeah, where they they did something really dumb in that play. In that game. Then they were getting all the breaks, too, on top of that. But there was something specific they did in that game I don't remember right now. Not that I was either. Like, oh, my God, I can't believe they did that.
And then they got beat 24-0 by New Orleans. That was kind of a laughing stock. And then to make matters even worse,
Jacksonville. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
The Colts. Yeah, all of them. They're all bad. So
three straight
losses.
Well,
here's the thing. Remember when we talked about that stretch, the Texans, the Saints, the Jaguars, and the Colts?
This is where they make their hay.
Right. And everybody was like, yeah, this is it. This is. I'm like, bro, I don't know, man. Like, two of those are on the road. Like, you know, the Texans are not terrible. Oh, that was the easiest game. I was
on the other side of that going, don't give up on them yet.
Yeah,
don't give up on them yet.
Definitely on that.
They lose to New Orleans 24-0. They lose to Jacksonville 27-20. And then they lose to freaking Jeff Saturday in his first ever game coaching. Oh. A week earlier, he was analyzing on ESPN.
Oh, my goodness.
Unlucky or just terrible?
Both. It could be both.
Mm.
They have 10 sacks this season. They spent money for Chandler Jones, who's like a really good pass rusher, and they have Max Crosby. How is that even possible?
Brutal.
10 sacks as a team.
Denver versus Oakland, 3-7 versus 2-6 or something like that, and I can't wait to 2-7 versus 3-6. And for some reason, I can't wait to watch that game.
Well,
you know,
it's funny, ESPN Radio, I'm not doing that game this weekend, but ESPN Radio, you know, they have all these games, right? They select several, you know, fairly early in advance. It's not always like the whole, you know, back in September. But, like, they selected that game fairly early, thinking, to your point, AFC West is going to be insane this year. And ESPN Radio, of course, will take Raiders at Denver.
I actually think these two teams, as disastrous as they are, make for better ratings.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for TV, for sure. By the way, I think my game tomorrow will be on this station tomorrow, the Utah-Oregon game at 7:30.
What time's that game? 7:30?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm pretty sure Bergman told me they're carrying that game.
Dude, I got to tell you something right now. I respect your grind. I would never want to do what you're doing. I totally respect your grind. But to go from basketball to college football, where, like, with the college football guys, like, you have some familiarity, but it takes a lot of prep work to really get to know those guys.
Oh, man.
Whereas the NBA, you're like, oh, I know these two teams, and I know most of these players.
Yeah.
But, like, I always respect the guys that go back and forth between football and basketball. Or, like, you know, you get to the NCAA tournament, and you're doing the first round, and there's teams you've never heard of before.
Yeah.
You know,
I would love
a lot
to do
of
that.
Work.
I would love to do the NCAA tournament.
I did it one time for CBS, and it was an awesome experience. Yeah, it was great. I loved it. I had a great experience doing it once. But
nobody knows anything about the college basketball tournament. Like, you know, like, you're just doing these stories. I mean, I'm sure there are guys, obviously, who do the sport all year who know. But, like, what I'm saying is, like, the people watching, more than half of them are like, they're just watching because there's always crazy games.
Yeah. Oh, and, dude, the announcers that I worked with, nobody knew anything about any of these teams.
Right.
You know? So everybody had to work like three times as hard to get to know who they were,
I was prepping today on the plane, and then this guy next to me, really nice guy who lives in Redondo Beach, was like, is that a calendar? Like, and I'm like, no, it's a chart with all it's a football chart. And he's like, football chart? He's like, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I hate having
I'm an announcer.
I hate having these conversations. I really do. Not because of anything, because it is a joy.
It just, no. It opens the door now to, oh, really? Tell me more. And then the next thing, rather than prepping, you're talking about what you do.
Right. And he was a really nice man. He actually he grew up here in Oregon. So he was telling me, like, I was telling him how it was a fun conversation, because I was telling him how we went here in the summertime with the kids. And he gave me like a bunch of spots to go to next time we come here as a family. So it was great. But you're right. I didn't really get enough prepping.
Yeah.
So I got to do more tonight. Luckily, the game's tomorrow's at 7:30, so I got plenty of time.
You got the whole day.
Yeah, I mean, I'm good, though. I've done these two teams before. They're not completely unfamiliar.
If I didn't do either of those two teams, and I hadn't done any research right now, I'd be panicking, but I'd know that I have the whole day tomorrow to fool everybody into making me believe making
them
believe.
You'd be like Michael Thompson that day that him and Trudell were doing the game, and Trudell still had to do his sideline thing, and then Michael was like, that guy, nobody knows his name, is shooting the three-pointer from the corner.
That would be me.
Yeah. Well, I haven't done them this year, but I did them both last year twice, so I've got that. By the way, I got my bowl assignments. I'll tell you that on the other side. But we got to wrap first. Laura says we got to wrap. So we got to go. But first, Cappy, I'm going to tell you about the bowl assignments. I do want to get into UCLA-USC in the next segment as well.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Really love me,
but you keep me hanging on.
Woo!
So I know we're great singers, and I know that the Circle of Trust and all the 710 listeners love when we sing on the radio, but I didn't know until yesterday that everybody loves it that much more when they're listening on podcast, because it's a cappella on podcast, baby.
Right. Yeah, because there's no, we can't play the music, right?
By the way, apparently we sound better on in a cappella.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally
didn't know that.
Yeah, probably not really, but nonetheless.
They tell me.
Everyone should subscribe to the podcast. If you're not doing it, what the hell are you doing? Like, why are you listening to the show if you're not? Because literally, there's no way, I mean, very few of you, I'm guessing, are actually listening on the radio the whole time. So you can't miss the show. There's always some nonsense that happens at the beginning of the show or in the middle of the show or at the end of the show. It's a long show. So you listen to the podcast, you can catch up. You say to yourself, all right, I listen between 4 and 5. Then you can listen to the podcast from, 5 and 6 o'clock or whatever.
I like it when I wake up in the morning and I go onto Twitter for as long as it still exists.
Yeah.
And I see guys like Darth Navarro who said, hey, I was just catching up on the Sedano and Cap podcast and I missed this part of it. And he's got a comment about, or the Benson crime family. They also are podcast listeners and then they're always a day or so behind. So when you catch up on the podcast, make sure you hit us up on Twitter for as long as it lasts so that we know what you were listening to and when.
Yeah, absolutely. So subscribe to the Sedano and Cap podcast like ASAP, like yesterday. Just go on your phone, regardless of what you have. There's going to be a podcast app. It's on your iPhone. It actually says podcast. Android phone, same kind of thing. It's Google, I believe. Spotify, whatever you listen to. ESPN LA app, ESPN app. Find it somewhere and just subscribe to it. But just do it.
Just do what you're told, everybody. Just do what we tell you to do, all right? Don't make me come out there and come get you.
Yeah, it'll just be easier that way.
Just do what we tell you to do.
Correct, yes. All right, so real quick. Before I get to UCLA, USC, so I got my bowl assignments. Are you ready?
No, tell me. Let me hear what you're doing.
So I got the LA Bowl, the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl, December 17th. So if you want to come, you can come with me.
I told you, man. I got something going on.
That's right. The Cappy Cast holiday party, right?
Every weekend is booked in December. I got nothing for anybody.
Well, I'm just saying, you could have come and hung out.
I'm good.
Jimmy Kimmel. Probably coming in the booth.
If Jimmy calls me and asks me to come, I will come.
Yeah. So they got, I'm doing it on radio, and then Tessitore and the crew is doing it on TV on ABC.
I like Tessitore. I like him.
Joe Tess, the man. I love that guy. So we've got that. And then I've got the Alamo Bowl again this year, which, honestly, if UCLA loses, chances are that's where they'll end up. So it'll be cool. I can get to do a UCLA game, too.
Okay, San Antonio's a cool town.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, not my favorite.
Right.
It's fine.
No, it's fine, though. It's all right. It's a couple of places to hang out.
But I'm working with Lindsay's guy, Dustin Fox, from Cleveland Alert, from Cleveland, who played for Ohio State on that national championship team that stole the national championship from my team. But nonetheless,
wait, what game are you working with Dustin on?
The Alamo Bowl.
Oh, that's awesome. He'll be so excited.
I know. He texts me, actually, to let me know. That's awesome. I hadn't seen the schedule yet. I believe, I don't know if the Alamo Bowl will be on ESPN. I know we're carrying the Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl, or we did last year at least. So, anyway.
Two bowl games, or you got more?
No, just those two. Nice. Two's enough, bro.
Oh, bro, I can imagine.
Because I'm going to be gone a ton. I'm doing plus I got all my NBA games in there, and I've got the G League Showcase, which is like the big G League event where it's a big tournament they always play right before Christmas in Vegas. So I'm doing that on ESPN TV, and there's a lot of stuff going on.
So. I had to take the week off before Christmas. Like, Christmas is on a Sunday, the 25th, and the next week, the 26th. Like, we're not even on because the Lakers are on the road.
I'm literally going to be off from radio and working almost every day on TV on a game somewhere.
That previous week, I should take that week off. Amanda's that right now going,
Yeah, else. You know why? Because I put in, and Amanda can attest to this, so could Lindsay and Laura too, because I believe both of them have been on those emails in the past. I always request my vacation 3 months in advance.
Yeah, not me.
Yeah, we can't do the both of you guys off at the same time thing anymore, especially that week because every show has somebody off that week already. So there's only so many.
But to beat me to it, you got to go 3 months in a day.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try and beat you to a summer vacation.
Put in for it now, because Sedano does it 3-4 months in advance.
No, I'm putting it in 6 months in advance.
Too late.
He gave us his whole NBA schedule through the end of the year back in July.
Yeah.
No, George, I'm putting in for vacation of June of 24. I beat you. All right, I'm vacationing 18 months out, pal.
Yeah. By the way, so there you go. Look, I'm looking at the Lakers schedule here. December 17th, Jimmy Kimmel LA Bowl. We're carrying that. I think Amanda had already told me we're carrying that. And then December 29th is the Alamo Bowl. No Lakers game, though. You carry it, Bergman. I'm going to say it's Bergman's fault if we don't carry it.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Making a complete left turn here.
Well, okay? We got to talk UCLA, USC, though, but hurry up.
I know, but before we do, did you have something that you wanted to ask me? Because if there's something I can do to help you out, you know, I'm here to help.
I don't know.
Would you like to hay king me for some reason? Is there something?
Oh, no. I was just saying in the rundown, it says Sedano has a good hay king. It wasn't for you. It was that my hay king at the Nike store today.
Oh, okay. I thought maybe when I see hay king, yeah. I'm like, hey, George needs a little help here. He needs a hand.
No, I'm
here to help.
No, I what Lindsay was referring to is that my hay king, you know, went up to a, let's call it a, you know, a larger throne, let's just say.
I just want to say this. I saw it on the rundown, and I wanted to make sure we got to it. Should you need some help, you can hey king me should you need me.
No. It's all good.
All right.
You don't come through anyways.
I just didn't come through with
you
some
don't come
buddies.
Through?
Hey, look, let me tell you something.
Not for me, so you know.
Let me tell you something. I'm going to have a real hard time hey kinging for some Swifties. I don't know what the hell's going on out there with this Taylor Swift thing, but I ain't paying no $500 a ticket to see Taylor Swift. Ain't happening.
$500 is cheap. Cap.
Yeah. That's
like,
cheap, bro.
They're like $2,000 is the get-in price
right now.
She
ain't worth it, bro.
Taylor,
I'm
going to tell you right now, Taylor, honestly, these are kids that want to come see you.
It's $500? Didn't you see her IG post?
No.
She said basically that she's losing trust in this whole industry and having to go through third-party companies who had assured her that there would not be any difficulties getting these tickets sold, and they failed, and now she's mad. Well, I don't know if she's genuine or not, but she seems pretty mad.
You know what? Well, here's what I think she should do.
Tell me.
She should come to the game this weekend, the UCLA-USC game, and perform at the Rose Bowl. How about that?
Yep. That'd be lovely.
Yeah,
that'd be very nice.
At least at halftime, you give you a little bit, and then you could go to Boney's suite with your kids, and they can at least see her there.
By the way, Cappy, speaking of the USC game, how's my Lot K parking request?
Oh yeah, what happened with that?
It's not going very well right now.
See,
I told you.
Did you even ask?
No, I did not.
See? I didn't think so.
Well, you guys don't seem to understand the amount of time that is being occupied in my current life right now with real life issues. And can you work on getting Lindsay a parking pass? It just kind of has to take a little bit of a back burner thing right now. So I just don't have the bandwidth to be looking for parking passes right now.
I mean, that would be understandable, except you always talk about like, oh, I always come through, you know?
No.
No, you don't, girl.
I don't always come through. I'm probably about a 600 hitter. You know what I mean? I'm doing really well.
I mean, that's pretty high.
Yeah, it's high. It's a high percentage.
For such a small, simple request, to be like, hey, Boney, you got a parking pass for Lindsay?
You're like Shaq in the low post. You just dominate. You just throw it down on everybody.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a 600 hitter, but right now, Linz, there's just too much going on.
All right, here's my prediction.
All right.
UCLA-USC. USC wins 41-40. I think it's a shootout.
Say it one more time.
41-40 USC.
Bleh.
Wow.
But a tight one. Like, they got to win at the last second.
Okay, I'm going to give you a different prediction. I've told you all week long, I think USC wins this game handily. Yep. I said by two scores. I'll take USC 38, UCLA 24.
Yeah, all right. There you go. Look at that. Big, 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 big. And you know what? Radio Tinder's next. I'm out. Michael's in the last two segments with Cappy. See you.
Thanks, Christopher. I have to let this music play for a sec.
Yeah, it's good. It's Radio Tinder. Lindsay Baseball, is Michael Thompson joining us from Crypto?
Michael is here. Welcome to Radio Tinder, Michael.
Yeah, what's this about?
Don't act like you've never played Radio Tinder before.
Well, the swiping right and up and left and down and north and south always confuses me.
Well, basically, you could just say yes or no, Michael. Oh, if you can't remember the swipes, you just do it your way.
All right.
Plenty of other people do, too. They'll be like, wait, what is that? Swiping right, is that mean no or yes? So, you know.
Hey, but Michael, any word if LeBron's playing?
Nothing yet, but I think he'll play. He's had a week off, so since they haven't announced he's not playing, he's going to play.
All right. We'll talk more about that coming up in a second.
All right, guys, so I'm going to start off with this whole World Cup situation, right? So Qatar banned the sale of beer at the World Cup stadiums earlier today with only 2 days to go before the opening game. It's a sudden U-turn for Qatari authorities who have apparently overruled FIFA and Budweiser, a longtime FIFA sponsor, who had made a special exception on the alcohol ban just for this event. So if you have luxury hospitality tickets, though, champagne, wine, whiskey, and other alcohol is still expected to be served in those areas only. But normally, beer would be the only alcohol served outside of those areas. But only non-alcoholic beer is going to be sold to the fans during the 64 matches. So if you were a fan and you'd plan to go to the World Cup on this trip, which we all know, if you're a football fan, drinking is a huge part of, like, the culture and, like, part of the game. Like, that's just, you know, drinking, partying, celebrating, right? So if you were a fan and you were going to go to this, would you still want to go? Swipe left or swipe right, Cappy?
I'm going to swipe left. I'd be pissed. I mean, if I'm some soccer hooligan who wants to get drunk and raise hell, and now all of a sudden they're taking that pleasure away from me, why did I book my flight? Why did I book my hotel? Why did you tell me 2 days in advance? You must have known about this. So, yeah, I'd be a little bit pissed off if I were a soccer fan going to the World Cup.
Michael, how about you?
I'll still go. I'd like a beer at a Dodger game or Laker game, or if I'm not working. But I could easily be contented with a Coke, a soft drink, to go along with my pizza or whatever. So I don't get drunk anyway. But I do enjoy a cold beer. But if there's none there, Coke will do.
Yeah, I also can live without the drinking, but Michael, I don't think that the soccer fan can.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like the average fan that is buying these tickets to go to this are planning to be like, woo, like party spring break, you know, get wasted.
And if their team loses, they might just, you know, tear the town apart. So
maybe,
my
gosh.
Seriously.
I know, you're right. And the funny thing is there are like outdoor areas outside of the stadiums that are apparently still serving alcohol, but you have to go really far to get them, and they're charging like $20 to $30 for a domestic beer.
Well, it's like the elites. I know there's alcohol denied in a bunch of those Arab countries, but yet the ruling class, they drink alcohol. But the
right,
public
exactly.
can't have it.
To the point that the luxury suite people will still be allowed to have it.
Yeah.
And, you know, those people are all like the sponsors and politicians and stuff like that. So we'll see how this all plays out, because I feel like it's going to be very interesting.
Well, it deserves to be a disaster, because FIFA should never be in Qatar anyway. They deny so many human rights over there. It's
right.
crazy.
Right.
Preach, Michael. Preach.
All right, next one here. So if you love the game of golf, you probably love a good Tiger Woods story, and pro golfer Camilo Villegas has a great one. He recently joined the Golf Subpar podcast, where he talked about the time Tiger Woods invited him onto his private jet. After beating Tiger in a skins game, he was celebrating with a glass of red wine as they prepared to take off, and he spilled it everywhere. And he spent 40 minutes trying to clean it up, but it never fully came out. Well, a few months goes by, and Villegas is at Woods' event at the Sherwood Country Club, and he opened his locker to find an envelope hanging with an invoice for $25,000 for the damage. If this were you, would you pay it? Swipe left or swipe right, Michael?
Yeah, I guess I would pay it. If I was Tiger, I wouldn't ask him to pay it. Tiger's a billionaire, basically.
Right.
$25,000 to him for his private jet is like us taking $25 out of our pocket to for a cleaning service to pick up our laundry. So if I was Villegas, would I be ticked? I mean, he did spill it, but I would pay it because he's got money too. But I would think, geez, Tiger, you're pretty chintzy there.
Well, that's his reputation. But I have a quick question for you here. So he spilled the wine on Tiger's plane after he had beaten Tiger in his skins game?
So I was kind of condensing the story, and he tells his long-winded story about they were about to take off. Like, Tiger, like, made him go on the jet because he took him out of some other tournament, whatever. He made him go on the jet, and as they're on the jet, like, he wanted to go to sleep, and Tiger's like, no, sit down and have a drink with me. Insisted on having a drink with him, right? And so then as, like, the plane's getting ready to take off, like, something happened where he wasn't paying attention and he spilled his drink everywhere. So he's not even, like, a big drinker, but he's like, well, I don't want to be a jerk and, like, deny this guy having a drink with me. He invited me onto his jet. So he was trying to be polite.
But was there a part of this where he had just beaten Tiger? Did I get that part
yes,
at the beginning?
Yes. And Tiger said, like, oh, let's celebrate and have a drink. You just won the skins game.
Right. And that's why Tiger billed him, because he beat him. So because he beat Tiger and took the money in the skins game and then spilled the wine, Tiger's like, hey, somebody else that I beat, I pay to clean it up. You beat me, you won the money, pay me to clean my plane. Tiger.
That is a good point. That is probably exactly what he was doing. All right, another one here. So a foot found in a hot spring in Yellowstone National Park back in August has been identified as belonging to a Los Angeles man. The foot belonged to a 70-year-old Il Hunro, and while foul play is not suspected, the circumstances of his death are still unknown due to a lack of evidence. And like I said, the situation unfolded back in August when a park employee spotted part of a foot in a shoe floating in the West Thumb Geyser Basin. So, instead of having you guys swipe, I'm going to ask, if you had to lose one of your bodily extremities, which one would you pick? Would you pick, like, a foot? Which foot would you pick? Would you pick a hand? Like, what would you pick? You go first, Cap.
If I were going to lose one of my bodily extremities, I would lose my gut, because
my gut... That's not an extremity.
Well, Michael, you say that, but it never was an extremity until now. And now I've grown this gut to a point where it's, like, in my way. So it's kind of like another arm all of a sudden. Like, if I had a third arm, you know, like, that third arm might get in the way. Well, now my belly's in the way. So if I could remove an extremity, I'd like to remove this belly. If that's ineligible, does a finger count? Does a toe count?
Yep.
Because I don't want to lose a foot, a leg, an arm.
I mean, that's what I was wondering. I guess if you had, like, I guess you could do that. But that's the easy way out. That's what everyone's going to pick, is just a finger or a toe. It's not that big of a deal.
So, well, I mean, if you're giving me a choice.
Yeah.
Bigger than a finger or a toe. Michael, what do you think?
I guess you can't say the P word on radio, can you?
Oh, my gosh. You were going to say that?
What's the P word?
Oh, no. We're not saying it, Cappy. Let it go.
Michael, why would you pick that?
Go with an ear. Go with an ear.
If you still could go to the bathroom and, you know, I guess that's the way to go, because you still keep your...
Okay.
I don't think your wife would be too happy about that.
Moving on.
All right. Well, I guess I...
an ear.
I can't do that one.
You would miss an ear.
I can't believe that you answered that. Right, exactly.
Because I like to use my arms and my legs.
Oh, my Lanta.
Oh, my gosh.
You don't like to use your P word?
Okay, Gabby.
You use your arms and legs, everything, all day long, right? The other one, you just use it occasionally.
Wow.
Oh, that's sad. But moving on.
Yeah.
I really didn't know what the P word was.
Okay.
The clinical word for it. You can say the clinical word.
No.
You can't even say the clinical word for it?
No.
Oh, come on. What are we, kids here? We're all adults here.
No, you are allowed to say it. You are allowed to say it.
I know he can, but you know, it's funnier if I don't let him.
It rhymes with cleanest.
We all know what you're talking about here.
Yeah, we all do.
I didn't.
Yeah,
right. I didn't at first.
Plus, really?
You can get one of those. Can't you get an artificial one?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I would, wouldn't you rather have an artificial, like, foot or artificial hand than an artificial P word?
I'd rather have a hook hand.
No, because it'll slow me down if I got an artificial foot.
Oh, my God.
Where are you going so fast?
Well, I got to be on time. You got to get to the airport. I don't want the Lakers to leave me behind because my artificial foot isn't working.
Oh, my God.
It might fall off or something.
No. They've done a lot of really great work with prosthetics, man. I'm telling you right now, you'd be
that's
faster.
What I'm saying.
You wouldn't have your boys if you would have lost that. I'm just saying.
Well, don't they have the prosthetic for the other stuff, too?
They have prosthetics for everything, Michael. But again, you are a married man, and I'm just saying I don't know your wife, and I don't mean to speak for her, but I'm guessing she wouldn't be too happy.
Plus, you can get the large size, really impress people.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, now we're talking a bigger prosthetic P word.
Exactly.
Where's
yeah,
my
I've
sound
upgraded.
Effect?
I've upgraded.
Where's my sound?
Exactly.
We both hit them at the same time. All right, so done with Radio Tinder, but before we go to break, I want to ask you guys. So, Michael, you're a big football fan, right?
Both of them, American and foreign.
Well, so normally the last segment on Fridays, we do our picks against the spread, where we do five games and you pick a winner and you say how confident you are in them winning, like 1 through 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Sedano left, so we didn't do our picks yet this week, and I feel like you'd be a good person to do the picks, and you'd be picking for Sedano. Would you be okay with that?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Okay.
I know my football.
Wait a second. I don't know that I'm okay with it because Michael's probably way better than Sedano.
No, too bad. You got to be okay with it. You allowed other people to pick for you, so you got to, you know.
Yep, that's true. And they did well for you.
I know Andy Kamenetsky did well for me, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
He went undefeated. He got all of them.
Yep. All right, well, let's see how Michael does in for Sedano on Picks Against the Spread. That's next. Don't go anywhere. Somehow this song came up earlier in the week. We had a conversation about this. I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was George was talking about, what's the lead singer's name? What's the dude's name?
I don't remember.
Me neither.
CNC Music Factory is all I remember.
You just a squirrel trying to get a nut, so move your butt to the dance floor. Yo, what's up? Everybody over here, everybody over there. Yeah, I don't remember exactly what happened. Hey, this segment of Sedano and Cap is being brought to us by icy cold Coors Light. When you are looking to celebrate life's victories, whether it's your football team, your basketball team, college hoops getting going, when you are looking to celebrate your victories, you do it with an icy cold Coors Light, keeping Southern California chill all season long. Coors Light. Michael Thompson in for Shidano. Michael, you ready to make some picks against the spread here for NFL games this weekend?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, now, Michael, if you're really confident in this pick, you give it a 5. If you're not as confident, you give it a 1, and obviously anything in between. So 5 is the best, you're most confident. 1 is your least confident.
Okay.
But you can only use each number once.
Right.
Okay.
But I'll keep track of that for you.
Okay, let's start off with this. We'll go backwards. Sunday night football, Michael. The Chiefs are in L.A. to take on the Chargers. The Chiefs are 5-point favorites. Who do you like, and what number do you assign to it?
I like the Chargers, and I'll give them a 2. That means they have a chance to win, probably win, right?
Well,
I mean you're confident, but not super confident.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
you pick them to win.
Mahomes is dangerous, so 5 is super confidence. 2 is like somewhere in the middle, so I'll give them a 2.
Okay. I'm going to take the Chiefs, rather obviously. Chiefs are my favorite team, or at least this week they are. I'll take the Chiefs to win the game. I want them to cover the 5, and I'm going to call that my 3. Lindsay Baseball.
All right, I'm going to also pick the Chiefs because I feel like, you know, Patrick Mahomes is starting to get rolling, and the Chargers are just going in the opposite direction. Everybody's hurt. Justin Herbert's just like, he's kind of lost his shine. So I'm going to go with the Chiefs, but I'm going to make that my 2 as well.
Laura.
I feel like I shouldn't even pick because last week I got 0, but let's go with the Chiefs, and that'll be my 3.
Wait, you got 0 last week?
According to Lindsay, yes,
she did. Because she had Bills, Raiders, Rams, 49ers, and Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, Laura, that's...
And the Rams, the 49ers didn't cover.
That's a new record.
Not really. There's people that have gotten 0, but, you know, whatever. Moving on.
Well, there's only one way to go this week.
True.
All right, here we go. Michael Thompson. The Raiders are at the Broncos. The Broncos are a 2.5-point favorite. Michael, the Raiders, a mess of emotions this week. Who do you like to win, and how confident are you?
I like the Raiders to win with a 1. Both teams are sorry. It is this crummy game of the week, so I'll give the Raiders 1.
Lindsay Baseball.
Well, I've been picking the Raiders for a good, pretty much all season, and they've done me wrong quite a bit. As we all know, they've only won 2 games. But I feel like they're still better than the crappy Broncos, so I'm going to pick the Raiders, but I'm going to make that my 3.
Laura?
I picked the Raiders last weekend. They, you know, blah, blah, blah. So I'm going to go in with the Broncos, and that's my 1.
I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to take the Broncos, and I'm going to call that my 5.
Whoa-ho-ho!
Yeah.
Big deal there, Kebby.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the Raiders, they're just a mess. Now, it's either one of these things where they rebound because they were so emotional, or maybe they're stepping into a team that's a little bit better. That's what Fat Jack told us yesterday. I'm taking the Broncos. That's my 5.
Phenomenal.
Thank you. The Rams are at the Saints, Michael Thompson, and New Orleans is a 3-point favorite. Who do you like?
I like the Saints with a 4 because the Rams are all beat up. They can't protect. Stafford's coming back from a concussion, so the Rams just don't look like they got it this year.
Lindsay Baseball.
Ditto. The Rams aren't a playoff team. They're not very good. Matthew Stafford and now Cooper Kupp being out has ruined my fantasy team. So, the Saints aren't very good, but neither are the Rams, so I'm going to New Orleans, and I'm going to make that my 4 as well. Good pick, Michael.
Yep.
Laura, this is your team. This is your boo.
Not my boo. Yeah, well, yeah, I'm married to them, so my boo. Yeah, the Rams suck. It's okay. I'm still a loyal fan. It's not like our other teams that you guys are fans of are that great. So, we're going to go Rams, and that's a 5, like every week.
Oh, you're sticking with it.
And yeah. She wonders why she got 0 last week.
It's okay.
I'm also taking the Rams. I don't know why. I really don't. Maybe Stafford's return. Maybe somebody on this team is going to stand up and say something emotional and motivational. Saints aren't very good either. I'm just going to take the Rams on the goof, and I'm going to call that my 1. Here we go. Finishing up. Final two. The Cowboys are at the Vikings. And, Michael, the Cowboys are favored in this game after losing the way they did last week to Green Bay, after seeing what Green Bay was last night against Tennessee. How is this possible? Who do you like, Michael? Cowboys, Vikings.
Thinking really hard on that one, huh?
Yeah, I think he's thinking, or we've lost the connection.
I think he's thinking really hard.
Okay, well, who do you like, Lindsay Baseball?
I think the Vikings, after last week, I think that the Vikings are the real deal. And it's only 1.5, so 1.5. I'm going to go Vikings, and I'm not that confident, though, so I'm going to make it my one.
Okay, Laura?
What game are we on? Sorry, I'm trying to get Michael here.
Cowboys at Vikings. What happened to Michael?
I got him back. Hold on. Maybe you go to him first.
Yep.
Michael, Cowboys at Vikings. Vikings are home dogs. Cowboys are favored by 1.5 points. What do you think?
Oh, man, I got to go with the – I haven't given anybody a 5 yet, have I?
I don't think you have.
So I got to go with Vikings with a 5, man. Cowboys are good, but I can't see them going into Minnesota and winning that game. So I'm going to go with the Vikings with a 5.
Laura?
I'm going to do Vikings 4.
I'm also doing Vikings 4.
Yay.
I think, I don't know if that's good or bad.
I don't know either. I got a 0 last week, man. Right. But here we are. You know, I can only go
good,
up.
Right. It's either good for you because I did well last week, although I really don't know if I did do well or not. How did I do
last
week?
I'll tell you at the end. I'll tell you at the end.
All right. Taking the Vikings, that's my 4. Last game, Michael. This is the weird game of the week. Cleveland alert. The Browns are at the Bills. The Bills are 8-point favorites. But, Michael, they moved the game from Buffalo to Detroit because of the massive snowstorm that's hitting Buffalo, New York. So Browns are at the Bills, but the game is in Detroit. Michael, who do you like?
Which number do I have left?
You've got, what was the one that you picked last time?
5.
5? Okay, so you got your 3 left, Michael.
3 with the Bills. Bills aren't going to lose 2 in a row, so I got Bills with 3. They got to get back in the swing of things, and it's a neutral field, so indoors, so Allen's going to be flinging that ball all over the place.
Lindsay Baseball, your Browns?
Well, I just want to say that every time I've picked the Bills as my 5, because the Bills are like my secondary AFC team, they've won. So I think the Browns are really, really bad, and I think that after the way the Bills lost last week, like there's no way that they're going to lose to the Browns this week. So I'm going Bills, and that's my 5.
Laura?
I'm going to go – let me see what I wrote down here. Sorry, Kepi. I'm going to go with the Bills. That's my 2 because I'm not picking no Browns. So, yeah.
I've only got a 2 left also. I'm taking the Browns to cover.
That's your team now.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Bills will win. I think the Browns can cover.
I don't.
Well, I'm
hoping.
It's
going to be a bloodbath.
Yeah, it's a heart
pick. I'm with her, and I hope so because I need that 2 at least.
All right, so give us the results of last week, Lindsay Baseball.
All right, so last week, we all did pretty well across the board. Sedano did the best. He got a 9, but he only got his 5 and his 4, the Vikings and the Bucks. You got 6 points, Cappy. I got 6, and Laura had put up a big fat goose egg. So the standings as of right now are in last place is Laura with 50. Right above her would be Sedano with 62. Things heating up in between Cappy and Lindsay here, whereas Cappy's got 74 and I've got 81, so we're still pretty close, Cap.
All right.
And this Browns-Bills game is going to be a big deal, right?
It is. It is indeed. Michael, we got 5 minutes before we're going to turn things over to Sliwa and the pregame show. Michael, we've been talking about this stretch for the Lakers and the teams that they're playing and the schedule softening. What do you think is going to happen here these next few games?
They got the Pistons tonight, and who we got Sunday? San Antonio Sunday.
Right.
So two teams that are sub-500, LeBron and Schroeder and Bryant might be back, so the Lakers probably be at full strength, so the Lakers will win these next 2 this weekend.
You sure LeBron's back, or
no,
you're just kind of guessing
that
LeBron's
guessing.
Back?
I'm just guessing. They haven't announced anything yet, but even if he doesn't come back, having Schroeder and Thomas Bryant back, that's going to be give him a good boost.
Okay, you feel that way? I mean, I don't know much about Thomas Bryant. I mean, Schroeder we've obviously seen before. What is Thomas Bryant going to bring?
Energy and some size off the bench, decent shooting, running the floor. He runs the floor really well for a big man. So they bring a lot of energy and enthusiasm off the bench.
If LeBron doesn't play, if let's just say he's not 100% and the decision is we're waiting until he is 100%, don't you feel like the Lakers should be able to beat these teams?
Yeah, yeah. Well, even without LeBron, as long as Anthony Davis stays dominant like he was. Lonnie Walker was a good complimentary with 26 points himself. So other guys can step up. And if AD can continue to want to be dominant in the paint and other guys step up like they did against Brooklyn, yeah, they can win these. They can hold on until LeBron gets back.
All right, Michael, other big story going down this weekend in town. USC against UCLA tomorrow night at the Rose Bowl. UCLA last week blew up their season with a loss against Arizona. USC still is playing for potentially an opportunity to get into the college football playoff. What do you think is going to happen?
At the Rose Bowl, UCLA's home ground, I just think home game, I think USC is going to pull it out. They seem to be a better all-around team. So that loss that UCLA had last week was terrible. So I'll go with SC to win it.
Okay. Any score? Prediction? Is it close? Is it tight? Is it a blowout?
28-20.
28-20. I said 38-24. 38-24 is my score. USC.
All right.
All right, there you go.
I hate all of you.
I know. Laura's so mad at us, yeah. Michael.
Hey, Michael, since we never have you on the show anymore and you love football so much, I'm just curious, as of right now, who do you think is, like, winning each division? Or, yeah, like, who's going to the Super Bowl?
Right now, as things stand after week 8, it looks like it's going to be Philadelphia because they seem to be a well-rounded team. They shouldn't have lost the other night. Who would they lose to?
Washington.
Yeah. They fumbled the ball. It was giving away takeaways and stuff. So if they wouldn't have fumbled the ball like that, they would have won. They'd have still be undefeated. So Philadelphia's the favorite in the NFC. And in the AFC, it's hard to go against Kansas City. So it could be Philly, Kansas City.
Yeah, it's tough to go against Kansas City. I mean, as much as everybody earlier in the season said Buffalo has overtaken them and Josh Allen has overtaken Mahomes,
no.
I don't think anybody feels like that right now after two straight losses against the Jets and then what happened last week. I don't think so.
No, he's a good quarterback, but Mahomes is still the best quarterback in the game.
Yep, he is. Hey, Michael, have a great weekend. Have a great broadcast tonight, and let's see where we are with this Laker team when we get back on Monday.
All right.
All right, Michael, thank you. Alan Sliwa coming up next with the Laker pregame show. Michael sitting in for a couple of segments while Sedano had to take off up in Oregon. Hey, Lindsay, baseball, you have any final words of the week? Any words of wisdom?
No, not that I can think of.
Okay. Laura, final thoughts, perhaps?
Happy birthday to my goddaughter. Let's go UCLA. And can I just get one team to win that I picked? That's it.
All right, there you go. Hey, everybody, listen, great week around here. Communicate all weekend long in the circle of trust. Go USC. I'll balance that out, and we'll see where we are, like I said, on Monday with this Laker team. Have a great weekend, everybody. Be safe out there. So much love on behalf of all of us. Peace out, everybody.